The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Travis, Michael, drunk, and Matt are witnessing the dawning of a new era.
January will be
the year of the rat.
The year of the rat. Not only the year of the rat drunk, but it'll be our 10th anniversary. Our first show was January in 2010.
So. Can you believe you invested 10 years of your life into this?
WFOD, 10 years of mayhem.
My boy's birthday today, and he just turned 8. So this show's been going on 2 years longer than he's been alive.
And you should tell him that every day, Travis.
You should say, yeah.
I have podcasts older than you.
Yep.
Next year's slogan, Dubfod, a decade of mediocrity.
But this is not the end. It is just the beginning. Do you believe that?
Dick's internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my good friend, Mr. Drunkard STL on the Twitters.
I'm back.
Drunk, sounding better this week. You sound a bit better.
Thank you.
Are you feeling good?
I feel great.
Guys, also here, the king of pranks, the albino alligator, the popcorn bitch, hustling hulse, jaguar impressive, Coach T. Mr. Travis Hulse is here.
Hello, good evening, good evening.
And Matt is here as well, everyone. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Mike. That voice still really just struggling.
Drunk's voice?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't sound 100%, but he sounds more percent than he did last time.
Like 80?
Yeah, I mean, he's getting there, Matt. He's on the road to recovery. I'd say he's turned the corner.
How many weeks? How many weeks has it been?
7 now.
Oh, my God. Drunk. I don't understand.
Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. After the break, we are going to be talking to actor Jasper Cole. He'll be on the program. We're looking forward to talking to him. There's a lot going on in the world, Drunk.
It's a big episode.
It's a huge episode, and I'll tell you why. I've been kind of glum the last week or so because we do have...
You haven't gotten your Christmas presents yet.
What Christmas present, Drunk?
Like you haven't bought your Christmas presents?
No, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. But see, the Christmas present that we give to the listeners every year, Drunk, is I am the one who receives all of the strange label... internet radio stations music submissions.
Right.
And usually this time of year we start getting the Christmas songs. And we get really excited when we get like a gem.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Right, yes, yes. It's all
we had the Christmas Rose, which I believe was
a classic.
That was Christmas shoes, but they changed it into like a weird domestic dispute.
Right.
We had the hot chocolate song.
Ooh, hot chocolate.
I think the hot chocolate one was pretty good. That was where didn't he go clean off her windshield or something?
He had to go shovel the sidewalk.
He shoveled the sidewalk so she could go enjoy herself.
He was being a good husband, and she got herself some hot chocolate.
And then last year, I think we had like a 9-minute just ramble. It was called What Would You Do for Christmas?
Yeah.
And then don't forget our
past favorite, multi-year favorite, Winter Break.
Winter Break, Travis, is the best. And see, what happened was this Anthony fellow, which claims he's from Los Angeles, California. He's not. We don't know where he's from, but he's not from Los Angeles, California.
How do you know, Mike?
Travis, I'm glad. One of my favorite Travis lines ever when I first played him Winter Break drunk, he said, "I want to winter break this kid's arm."
That's terrible, Travis.
So this 14-year-old kid sends us his song, so Winter Break.
At this point, he's got to be like 19, right?
He's aged significantly drunk.
We got to catch up with him.
Yeah, we do. And I'm excited to say I do have an update on the Winter Break Kid. Now, Winter Break Kid sent me this song in 2015, and I pulled it a little bit of it. Now, Travis, if this doesn't get you excited about Christmas, I don't know what will.
Just the prospect.
Very European.
Now, okay, yeah. That was 2015. So we played it. We loved Christmas Break. In 2016, for whatever reason, he sent us the song again, but he had sped it up slightly, which I actually emailed him and said, "Why'd you speed it up?" And he said, "Oh, well, it was always intended to be that speed."
Well, it's the club mix.
Yeah, so this is the 2016. I don't know if you can tell. Can you tell it sped up a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
It's just a little bit faster.
Half a note, yeah.
Now, drunk, you will be happy to know that our friend Anthony, who sent us our favorite Christmas song, Winter Break, he's still
producing,
pursuing the dream,
okay,
to make Winter Break a hit song.
Sure.
But, like, Travis, in this year of our Lord, 2019, how do you get your songs out there, Travis? How do you connect it to an audience? How do you
create a viral tweet and you say, "Check out my SoundCloud."
Yep.
You tag it on to something popular.
TikTok does it, the trick nowadays too, doesn't it?
But Travis, do you know how Anthony decided the way to get Winter Break into more ears was
the Dub Fod bump?
Well, I mean, obviously, corporate sponsorship, Travis.
Ooh, baby.
Oh, yes.
Anthony,
that is the way of America,
has altered the lyrics of Winter Break.
Oh no.
So is this
trying to peddle this same? Does he have other music, or is it just this one song,
Travis,
that he's been trying to peddle for 5 years?
From what I could tell, Anthony has one song, and that one song is Winter Break. Christmas.
So it's Winter Break.
So we get a 2019 version.
Do you want to hear it, Drunk?
So his voice has had to have changed by now.
It has.
Hold on. Is it, all right, he's trying to go corporate with it. Is it food related?
It is not.
Beverage?
Is it a shop? Is it like a store? Is it like Target?
Matt.
It's Walmart. Yeah.
You may never guess.
Oh my God! But it makes me want to. I
did he team up with Paul from Sprint?
Travis!
No way! Did I get it?
Oh God!
Hello.
By the way, I think it might have sped up a little bit more.
Hello. Oh Jesus!
Yeah, I'm ready.
Can you hear me now?
Here we go. Christmas bells I hear. Santa John and his sleigh, but oh, it's just a dream. I'm still at school today. Oh, don't you...
Now the voice has changed.
It is definitely
Anthony is becoming a man.
And what is this, like a karaoke inside of his bedroom?
He's not going to be able to sing this song in a couple years when he has to get a real job. We don't get winter breaks from our jobs.
Travis, when I was listening to Winter Break earlier preparing for the show, that high-pitched horn sound was making my dog crazy. Like, the sound just made my dog lose her mind.
I could see how, too, like, just the beat, that speeding up that instrumental, I could see how that could produce anxiety in humans.
Teachers teach, well, my mind is just on Christmas. I just want to go and play with all my unlimited data. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Matt.
Oh, he did it. He did. I did not hear this ahead of time, everybody.
It's unlimited data, Matt.
Yes.
And where do you get unlimited data, Matt?
T-Mobile Direct is finally here. Oh, I can feel that Christmas feeling here. T-Mobile Direct is right here. We don't have the time of our lives. T-Mobile Direct is...
Oh, my God.
Travis, goodness. T-Mobile break is finally here.
Oh, no.
Ugh. You hear the disappointment in my voice, don't you? I was an advocate of that song, too.
Travis.
He's been trying to peddle this for so long, he finally is like, whatever. Let's call it T-Mobile break now.
Is that
get the, a little chink
is
from
that
it.
Is that the definition done. Of selling out right there?
See, but like,
that's rough, man.
You can't sell out if
you don't make any money.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you look up
Hot
Winter Break
data.
From 2015 on YouTube, it has like 117 views, and we're 107 of them. I mean, it's been on YouTube now for 5 years. So you can't sell out.
Who was clamoring for this sell service remix? Like, what did they approach him and say, hey,
no,
we really need to talk to you about this, this 117 view winter break song and how we want to transform it into a commercial.
No, Travis, make no mistake. T-Mobile did not request this. Like, he's trying to win a contest or something. Like, this was sent out to T-Mobile.
Or did he think that by him saying, like, he's sitting around going, fuck, like, how do I get this song out into the wider audience? Oh, if I just add T-Mobile into this, maybe they'll hear it and they'll glom onto it.
Well, what else do you know about T-Mobile, Matt? They have magenta. I know he mentions magenta at some point in this.
Did he not? He must not have wrote this song, right? Because if he actually wrote this song, don't you think he would have created some new songs in the 5 years that we've been listening to Winter Break?
He made Winter Break, Travis, and he believes in it. There's something commendable about that, Travis. Don't you think that, like, he made something?
Is he, like, dropping the mic and walking out? It's like, my masterpiece is done. I just need to get it in front of people.
And people have not spoken kindly of Winter Break, I imagine he's, I mean, if he sent it to us, he sent it to everybody, wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm. I would certainly think
and,
so.
And the world has replied a resounding no, Travis.
No,
but here
no,
we are
you.
Years later, and we're T-Mobile break now.
Almost here. Oh, I can feel that Christmas tree here. T-Mobile break is just only here. I'm gonna have
everybody.
Hello, John? Yeah, I'll make a commercial.
By the way, he says Santa John. What the fuck does that mean? Is Santa John a person?
So can I ask you a question?
What's that, John?
So since the WFOD is half of his listenership, you think we can have him make a Dubfod break?
What?
Like a WFOD break?
WFOD break is finally here.
Yeah, that.
Oh, my God. That would be so great. I don't know. Do you think that he would do that for us, Travis?
Well, I would assume
we,
he's got to repurpose
every
this
year,
song for
so.
Everything.
Have you reached out to him, Mike, to talk to him?
Matt, I reached out to him one time when he sent me the same song in 2016 that he sent me in 2015, only slightly sped up. I just replied and said, why'd you speed it up?
And what did he reply?
It was one sentence. It was, why'd you speed it up? And he replied that he always intended for it to be a little bit faster.
Yeah, for it to pop more. I get it.
Yeah, so...
You think his mom is his producer?
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, for sure.
Grandmother, actually.
Yeah, you have to wonder. Like, I mean, like, I'm sure that, you know, he has dreams of being, you know, a big star one day. But don't
so
you think-
write another song. Just one more.
How amazing would it be if we like saw this, like, dude on American Idol one day? He's like, my original Christmas break.
Like that gal. What was that gal from Greenland or Iceland or wherever she's from? The climate gal?
Adele.
No, the
Greta Thunberg.
Yeah. Like, you know, she went up there and said, "How dare you?" and all that. I mean, like, I believe that, you know, she probably has something to do with it, but don't you think that her parents are probably propping up her up there a lot more than maybe she is?
Well, she was probably into it, and then she probably was on like a local news channel or something that got a bunch of, you know, like their local news, and she got a bunch of attention. They're like, well, shit, we should take this a little bigger. And she's like, yeah, I believe in this stuff. And then it just got out of hand.
But, like, I mean, her parents are helping out quite a bit, don't you think? Her parents are probably maybe writing some of her little speeches and pushing. Maybe her parents are the ones doing the tweets. And maybe, like, you know, they think, well, I mean, like, you know, we could do all this. But, I mean, like, you know, if people reply to her, then we can be like, well, you can't.
It's gonna get more attention if it's a child.
You can't say that. You can't.
I would assume at this point,
kid.
She's at this point. I'm sure she has a PR team.
Yeah. It's like a whole machine, and the same as with Anthony. Like, you know, his mom is probably like, oh well, I mean, if we keep pushing Anthony out there, eventually T-Mobile's gonna take notice.
Well, that made sense when he was like 14, but now that he's like an adult man, I don't know that that's necessarily true anymore.
I don't know.
So now that I have the Christmas break woes.
You have the woes, Drunk? Well, do you feel like a piece of you has been tainted in a way?
No, I just need some hot chocolate.
Oh, could you imagine if she remixed that song?
You don't got it queued up?
I don't.
How dare you? What's your problem?
My man went and got me a Sprint phone all by himself.
Some hot chocolate.
Travis, it was really dire, the Christmas song. Like, we got a few, but, like, they weren't bad. They were just, like, I got something from Chrissy and the Get-Go's, Matt. It's called Santa's Slaying It. It's like a big band deal. I mean, it's fine. Like, you can't really goof on this. It's just like,
I like it already.
I mean, it's just fine. This year, Santa's slaying. I mean, it's fine, right?
That's pretty good.
Slaying it is in getting that pussy.
Yeah. I don't know, Drunk. I don't think I really paid that much attention to the lyrics. Reindeer up and away. I think it's just like a innocent Christmas
Santa
song. There's no innuendos in there.
Gotcha.
I mean, yeah, like I think she calls the reindeer Rudy.
Rudy. Yeah, that makes
pretty
sense.
Cool. You know,
it's got like a personal relationship.
Yeah. So, I was really worried that we weren't going to have any fun carols this year, but thank God Anthony came through. Travis.
Thank God Anthony came through at the last minute, too.
Yeah.
It was almost over.
Travis, Drunk told us after the show last week that he saw Terminator Dark Fate and that he wanted to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, we were going to talk about Dark Fate. Drunk's favorite franchise.
It is my favorite franchise.
And you saw Terminator. I don't think anybody else has seen it yet.
Yeah, he even saw Jen Weiss in the theater, didn't you?
Is it your favorite franchise?
I saw Jen Weiss. I liked Jen Weiss.
I saw
in the theater. You did?
I did. Absolutely.
Huh. I saw two in the theater. I saw three in the theater. I saw Salvation in the theater.
Okay, so I get.
I saw two in Salvation.
I understand. I've seen. I saw the first. No, I saw three in the theater. I saw four in the theater.
Oh, you didn't get to experience two in the theater?
No. Oh, I was but a little baby.
I was very little. I was like eight when that movie came out.
Oh, I was 11. I was like 11.
My parents wouldn't have taken me to see that movie in theater.
I had a cool uncle that took me to see that movie. So,
that's your favorite franchise, because one and two, actually, I'm going to say this, and maybe not a lot of people would agree with me. One isn't that great. Two
One's
is
fine.
Amazing.
One is not great after you've seen two.
Right.
If you never saw two, one is pretty damn good.
Yeah, it was good. I think it's something that you would say it was good for the time. Yeah,
It was definitely ahead of its
time. It does not
hold
up well.
It's not rewatchable like T2 is.
Oh, my God. T2 is a masterpiece.
Terminator 2, best sequel of all time, you think?
I mean, that or Aliens, I think, would take it. Like, both of those are amazing sequels.
I was a fan of Back to the Future 2 more than one.
Me too. I love Back to the Future 2. I think it's my favorite of the three.
So, but your favorite franchise, like, there's you like all of them enough to say it's your favorite franchise?
Oh yeah, I own every DVD.
And you like Terminator versus RoboCop?
Yep.
The video game for Super Nintendo, I had that. I never got past the third level.
More than Ghostbusters, more than Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
So I get that you own it all, but you like every single movie?
Yeah.
Even the Christian Bale one?
I watched Salvation the other day, as a matter of fact.
I love Salvation. Hmm. I don't understand why people shit on that movie. Terminator Salvation is fucking great.
I thought 3 was fine. I thought Jen Wyses was fine. I think people shit on Jen Wyses. I thought Jen Wyses was fine.
I thought 3 was really good. Like, really good.
The Christian Bale one is pretty dull.
Oh, I love that.
I have
There's
not
so much
seen
cool shit in it.
Dark Fate yet. Drunk, what did you think?
So,
did you enjoy it?
You know, when the early hubbub came out about, oh, they're making another Terminator, you know, I got all excited.
Uh-huh.
They're all talking about James Cameron's back in it, and
right,
it's gonna rejuvenate the franchise. And I mean, it's no better or worse than Salvation or Genesis.
So it's just as good as those. What you would say?
It's not on par with T2. As Mike would say, it's fine.
Out of five stars, Drunk, would you give it a 3?
Probably like a 3.5.
Three and a half? Not bad.
Yeah. I mean, the critics shit on it, but the critics shit on everything. So
see, and I, you know, when they first said that they were doing a direct sequel to T2, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. They got Sarah Connor back and everything. And the problem that I had is, like, I didn't feel like the trailer showed me enough Terminator shit. They showed, like, another liquid metal dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, we saw that already. We saw that twice already. Show me something. I just didn't feel like, that's why what I liked about Salvation so much was there was different Terminators in it. There was, like, those motorcycle Terminators and shit. Like, I thought that was badass. And that's what I want from Terminator now. Now that we already know, you know, the apocalypse or whatever, the Judgment Day is going to happen, I want to see the kick-ass Terminator.
Travis likes a variety in his Terminator.
Can I give a spoiler alert?
Oh, yeah, please.
There's an Edward Furlong sighting in this movie.
Oh, I heard that. They did say he was back in
he
it for a second.
He is back in the movie.
It's exciting.
It is exciting.
So, does he look pretty? Does he look as strung out as he looked the last time I saw him?
No. You know how they like to do the age things in movies.
Oh, nowadays. Yeah. Okay.
So this movie, it flopped. And the last one flopped.
Equally flopped, right?
They all but said Terminator's done now.
We're not
going to
make any more Terminators?
What was it? The first 2 weekends or something like that. Jen Wise has made $62 million, and this one made like $63 million.
Yeah, and they said, I think pretty much is what they were blaming it on was the fact that this franchise is not like beloved like other franchises, to the fact that most parents haven't shown their children the Terminator franchise, so they don't even know really what it is necessarily. So they're not going out and supporting it like they are, you know, Star Wars.
So you think like in 10, 15 years, they'll just redo the whole thing, just start over with like a brand new Terminator?
I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens with any of these things, because, you know, Charlie's Angels flopped bad. It's like, just seems like these franchises that they're trying to keep rejuvenating. I know there's talks right now about RoboCop Returns.
Everybody talks about there's no original thoughts in Hollywood anymore. That 21 Bridges fucking flopped too, which is
all those type of movies. There's movies that look really good that I know nobody's going to go see. But like even like I said, they're talking about they're doing a RoboCop Returns with MGM, and they want to make it a hard R, and they want to return to like the satirical roots or whatever. But is there going to be enough people that want to go back and see Robo? I'm curious to see about The Matrix. There's a new Matrix sequel that they're producing right now. Are people going to go see that? I don't know.
I don't know, because like the first Matrix was great, and 2 and 3 people weren't too hot on.
I mean, they were fine. Yeah,
Two, but three was just a
movie ahead of its time.
Yeah, and like those people, they kind of just went away and haven't really made anything. Like, they've made stuff, but none of it like was a blip on the radar. So will anybody care?
Yeah, I don't know. I keep seeing news pop out, but it doesn't get the exposure that like a Marvel movie news. Like, oh, we just cast this person to the new Black Widow movie. I was just looking at Deadline today, and they were just saying, oh, we added this person to the Matrix 4 cast. And then I started reading the other casting announcements. I'm like, why didn't I hear that all these other people were added to the Matrix 4 cast? I don't know. I just feel like people, after a certain amount of time, like, do they care about these franchises anymore? Can't we just leave them in the past and love the movies that already exist?
Right. I mean, I think the nostalgia thing will always be a big push.
Right.
I mean, obviously Terminator flopped here, but you know, it's like there's an Edward Furlong fucking appearance. Like, oh my god, they should just leave things. Like, I wish they would. I wish they would just leave things where they are, and say, okay, like Ghostbusters, this new Ghostbusters fucking movie that you know everybody's losing their minds over because we got this trailer. Like, no, just leave it. Like, what? Wouldn't it be great if those guys who brought us that just worked on something else, like
Matt,
just a different thing, like
create a new classic.
Matt,
like what I like about Bone Tomahawk.
Guys,
I like the Bone Tomahawk guy.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm about to shit my pants, so we gotta go to break.
All right.
Okay. On that note,
WFOD.
Can I take a hit? I ran out of my Xannies, and I could really use something to take the edge off.
Get out of here.
I'll fuck you for it. I don't have a ton of experience, but I make up for it with enthusiasm.
Here, just take it.
Mr. Worldwide.
Thanks.
Lionel Richie, representing Dade County. This Chica Caliente, we gonna party. Don't stop the party. We gonna sip Bacardi, and we ain't gonna drop. We ain't never gonna stop. Grey Goose from the bottom, we don't need no glass. While all these finance bitches on the dance floor shaking their ass. Dolly, wake up, we ain't never going to bed. Dancing and jumping till eyes turn red. Okay, 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 okay. That's so. Okay, 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 okay. Gonna sip a Cardi. We ain't gonna drop. We ain't never gonna stop. Grey Goose from the bottom, we don't need no glass. While all these fine ass bitches on the dance floor shaking their ass. Yeah. Mr. Worldwide. Lionel Richie.
Listener, there's things you need to know.
Online and on your mobile device.
This is Strange Label.
Kids just love the crispity, crunchy taste of new Kellogg's Crunch.
Mmm, it's good.
Oh, give me that box, you little bastard, or I'll kill your whole fucking family.
Oh, not today. Kellogg's Crunch is just for kids.
I want it. And I don't care how many dead children I have to leave in my wake to get it.
Kellogg's Crunch, the taste you'll go crazy for.
Again and again. Once again.
WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
kissing rainbows in the sky. It's my invitation. Let's all take a trip on my ecstasy. I'm Mr. Bad Guy. Yes, I'm everybody's Mr. Bad Guy. Can't you see I'm Mr. Mercury? Big Daddy's got no place to stay. Bad communication. Feel like the president of the USA. Mr. Bad Guy. Yes, I'm everybody's Mr. Bad Guy. Can't you see I'm Mr. Mercury?
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is an actor and podcast host. His podcast, One-on-One with Jasper Cole, is available now on iTunes. And his latest film, Captured, will be on video on demand January 1st. Jasper Cole is on the program. Jasper, thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The movie, you got a movie coming out called Captured on January 1st. It's going to be on video on demand.
Yes, yes, from Green Apple Entertainment, and this has been a pretty long process. I think we started shooting this about 5 years ago and did a bunch of reshoots, and thankfully it's coming out now. Sometimes you do these and these indie films and you wonder if they're ever going to see the light of day, but this is a really good one.
Yeah, and you're the guy with the mask, right?
No, actually I play Shelley, the groundskeeper of this estate, and I'm sort of a red herring. You kind of, you know, think that I might be, well, I don't want to give anything away, but it's basically the story of a young rock band, and they return home to the lead singer's home place to shoot a music video. And Shelley was the groundskeeper for many, many years when she was a young girl. And I'm holding the key to a lot of secrets in the family.
So a lot of people will think it was you, but it's not you?
Yeah, well, I don't want to give it away, but but I might be. Maybe I am the guy in the mask. Who knows?
And you also have a podcast. It's a One-on-One with Jasper Cole, and that's on iTunes and all of that. You've been doing that a while, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I'm in my 8 years of doing – I had another show called – On the Set with Jasper Cole for 4 years, and 4 years now I've been doing One-on-One with Jasper Cole. It's just a one guest at a time, a little more, you know, a little more sit down, intimate. My other show, I would have 3, 4, 5 guests on a 2-hour show.
So is it industry specific? Is it people that you've worked with or?
No, this one is pretty open. I try to open it up to, you know, pop culture, politicians. I've become pretty big on the homeless situation in Los Angeles. So I devote one show a month to the home. We call it the Heroes and Horrors of Homelessness. And we have homeless advocates who come on and talk about, because it's really a nightmare in Los Angeles. You know, Skid Row in L.A. has at least 50,000 to 75,000 people living there.
And is that people that, I guess, transplants that go there trying to chase the Hollywood dream?
And then make it in show business? Yeah, well, you know, the irony is it's the face of homelessness has gone from, like, sadly, what used to be, you know, drug problems and mental illness to sort of the working homeless the single mothers with kids, just the housing crisis in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's so out of control with rents. And there are people, you know, working sort of middle class jobs, and they just don't make enough to have an apartment in LA. So they're living in their cars or their vans or trucks. And it's really it's amazing what's happening.
It's almost pretty much impossible to live in LA unless you're in the industry, right? Like, it makes no sense to actually live in LA unless you're like pursuing a career in entertainment. Because I had heard recently, actually, on that same topic, I've heard like a typical like $2,000 a rent, like a month rent, has like skyrocketed to like $5,000 a month for like a home or an apartment.
Oh yeah, I mean, you can't get a one bedroom. You can't really get a studio apartment for probably less than 2,000. I've been here 32 years total, but 15 years ago, I so started having a place in Palm Springs. So 2 years ago, I moved permanently to Palm Springs. It's 100 miles from LA. And so I just drive in for work and drive back out. And the quality of life is so much better. LA has just really become, between the traffic, well now I'm sounding like my lawn guy, but it's the traffic and the rents, and you know, it's, and then the homeless crisis. I mean, Skid Row has always been the designated area, but man, you can just go anywhere in Hollywood now, and like I said, people are living in really expensive tents, these like $1,000 sporting tents, and like I said, these are millennials that have like entry level jobs in places, don't have rich parents to pay the rents, and they're just, what you do is you have a gym membership, and you know, you shower and do all that at the gym, get dressed for work, go to work, you have a car.
Oh, that's kind of smart. I didn't think of that. You get a gym membership, I mean, you get a free shower in there.
Back in the day, we had roommates and stuff. We could have like just lived in a tent.
Yeah. So you moved yeah, to California from Georgia, like in the mid 80s.
I moved in 87, and ironically, my first day in LA was the Whittier earthquake, which till that point was the biggest they'd ever had. I didn't think that was a very good sign.
First day,
first morning after driving like 4 days cross country, and I'd never dealt with an earthquake. I thought it was the end of the world. And the way the media and people acted on TV, newscasters were jumping under their desk. And I thought, oh, hell, I've really messed up now. But
that's an omen.
But I
think that is.
Was there a part of you that felt like maybe you brought that to L.A.?
Well, not to get too, you know, when I was 13, I was struck by lightning. My brother was killed. And when I was 19, I drove right into a tornado when I was in college. So natural disasters and myself have not always had a great relationship. So it didn't make me feel great. But then other people have told me, well, Jasper, you know, you could arrogantly say it sort of shook up the town when you got there.
Sure, yeah.
But that's not what I was thinking.
You were actually struck by lightning?
Yeah, my brother and I, he was 16 and I was 13, and we were vacationing in Jekyll Island, Georgia, on the beach. It was in August. It was just one of those freak storms that came out of nowhere. And there was a bolt of lightning that split, and it hit both of us, and it knocked us like 30 yards down onto the beach area. And the only reason we know this is there was a doctor and his daughter walking behind us who got knocked to the ground, and they later, you know, we're able to call my parents and tell them what happened. So, yeah. And I, you know, I survived, and I was kind of couldn't walk and stuff for a few weeks, but otherwise I didn't have any physical problems.
So you just felt, sadly, you just felt nothing. Killed. You just woke up and somebody told you what happened.
Yeah. Well, periodically through this happening, I was blowing in and out of shock and waking up in the back of the ambulance and stuff. But ultimately, yeah, dad at the hospital told me that my brother didn't make it. And the really strange part is we were 6 hours away from Athens, and I don't know what my parents were thinking. We talk about it now, but we literally got in the car and like drove back to Athens, and my brother's body was flown later. But in conclusion, I don't really know how my parents survived all that. People have asked me before what made me think I could know no one and just drive to Hollywood and try to be an actor. And I said, well, what are the odds you'd be struck by lightning and survive?
Right.
So I always felt my chances were, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
And obviously you're right. With credits that span back to the early 80s, it's worked out for you.
It's been a journey. I always say my career has been a marathon, not a sprint. I've been grateful all along. I really, in the last 15 years, was lucky enough to sort of get on this bad boy list and get typecast and get to play these great mean guy, homeless, drug addicts.
Because you have kind of a bad guy face.
Yeah, I have. I've been told I have a very severe. I think the word is severe, which it's not really my personality. I actually thought I was going to be a sitcom star when I came to L.A. Comedy was my thing. The closest I would get to a sitcom now would be like the killer in the basement of the family.
The killer with a heart of gold, right?
Heart of gold, of course. Go. Yes.
So yeah, you were in MacGruber. You were one of Val Kilmer's henchmen in that.
Yes.
And that was like your big break, I guess, right? That's what got
film-wise,
you on people's...
Yeah, and I can't believe it's 10 years ago, but that was by far my...
Was that 10 years ago?
Studio film break.
Doesn't seem like that long ago. You know...
I know, can you believe it? We're just 10 years.
I don't think that, like, a lot of people liked that movie when it came out. That movie's great.
Right.
Those I just rewatched that movie like 3 weeks ago. It was on HBO, and I laughed my ass off.
Powers Booth is awesome in that movie.
You know, it had big expectations when it came out. It didn't do as well, and now it's kind of garnered this cult following, especially with the college kids and millennials, and because you know it's pretty stupid. I mean, it's just over the top crazy.
Oh no, I mean it's definitely stupid for sure, but it's the right kind
violent.
Of stupid.
Yeah. The summer before Bridesmaids, so Kristen Wiig, her career had not really blown up yet.
Oh, sure. You know?
And Val was great to work with, and Ryan Phillippe, Powers Booth. It was just a great cast.
I hear lots of rumors that Val Kilmer's terrible to work with. That wasn't your experience?
Well, luckily, you know, this was a comedy, and he hadn't really done a lot of comedies. But he I don't think he got a lot of times that his character was the brunt of the joke. He played it very method. So that was even funnier, if you know what I mean.
I think the rumors that Val Kilmer is awful to work with just makes me like him more, which is weird.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's eccentric, you know? He just cracked me up the whole time. Like, for instance, he wanted to do his own sound. He wanted to wire himself and not let the sound guy do his mic, you know. And so, of course, we would say action, and then 5 minutes in, they'd have to say cut because his mic wasn't proper. We'd have to start all over. And, you know, Val said, no, I can do it. And we're like, okay, dude, it's 120 degrees in Albuquerque. Could we just put the mic on and move on? Yeah, but he's a good guy.
And so you after that movie, like you got put on a list. You said you just kind of became the go-to.
I mean, I always say it took me years to get typecast, you know. But I had already up to that point been playing sort of the bad guys. But after that movie, like I got to go in and meet the Coen brothers for True Grit, and I just noticed the level of films and stuff I was auditioning for was much bigger and better.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you have a crazy amount of credits, and it's all like I mean, you've been on pretty much every TV show that's ever existed. Like, you go down the list.
Well, thank
you've been
you.
On like every CSI there is, and
yeah, I love television. I mean, my goal, I'd love to become like, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth sidekick on one of these 1 hour dramas and just work like 1 or 2 days a week. And you know, preferably, I love playing homeless guys because a lot of times I get to lay on the sidewalk and spout out some lines. The older I get, the less I really want to do and just get paid.
So, like, you make these connections as you go on, and then, you know, like, people remember working with you, and then when they need somebody that meets like your skill set, then I guess they just remember. I guess,
TV is a corporate job. Like, luckily, you just sort of try to work with the same producers, like CSI and Training Day and The Forgotten. That is, I just did The Rookie. They're all the same group of executives and showrunners. So the beauty is, once you sort of work with a group of people, that hopefully, you know, they'll call you back.
The Rookie is just, it's Castle, only he's actually a cop now, right?
Yeah, it's exactly. It's Castle as an older rookie. You know, the point is, he goes to police academy in his 40s, I guess. So he's like the oldest rookie. I play Crackhead Fred on there, and he's
Kind of a Fred. That's lovable.
Yeah, he's the neighborhood crack dealer that the cops like to use as an informant. But the episode I did last season, I've been clean for 30 days. So we're hoping, you know, Fred's going to come back a little more often, because I have a wife named Wilma. And
I mean, that's backstory. They've invested in the character of Crackhead Fred, so they got to bring him back, right?
Well, that's Fred and Wilma.
Well, we got to see more of Wilma. I'm thinking the kids will be Pebbles and Bam Bam.
Yeah, your best friend's Barney.
People are going to be going, man, we got to see this Wilma. We got to see the whole thing that Crackhead Fred's got going on.
Yep. So the show does have a little, like, tongue in cheek. They throw in a little comedy every now and then.
Jasper, where can people find your show and get a hold of you on Twitter and stuff?
I'm on Twitter. It's Twitter and Instagram is Jasper Cole Seth, SAYS. I'm on Facebook. My show, One-on-One J. Cole, has Twitter, Instagram, or you can just go to jaspercole.com, and everything's there. If you want to stalk me, it's all there. I'm open.
Guys, if you've been sleeping on MacGruber all this time, you check out Jasper and MacGruber. That is a great movie.
I appreciate it.
Don't always believe the Metacritics. They get it wrong, right, Drunk?
Absolutely. Pretty much never believe them. Just go watch a movie if you're interested in watching a movie.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right.
Jasper, we appreciate you spending some time with us. It was fun. We should do it again sometime.
All right, buddies. Thank you so much. Have a great one. Thank you.
Take care. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, Jasper.
Jarvis, I'll tell you what. I like Jasper.
Yeah, me too. Did you know that he played the title character in a Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode called The Oolong Slayer?
Ooh.
Was he the actual Oolong Slayer?
He is credited as the Oolong Slayer in the episode titled Oolong Slayer.
Travis, I'll tell you, when I was reading up on Jasper, I watched one of his reels earlier.
I saw
in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Andy Samberg tried to sneak up on him, and he snuck up on Andy Samberg. And
nice.
So he was behind Andy Samberg, and he said, "You looking for me?" And then Andre Brower snuck up on him. And pointed a gun at his back. So it was like a conga line of people pointing guns at each other. I'll tell you what, from doing this, Travis, we've talked to a couple of character guys, like Jasper and several others. Like, when you see them, like when you talk to them and you know who you're looking for, it's crazy how much you'll just start to see them.
Oh, yeah. It's like if you don't realize how many vehicles of a certain type are on the road until you buy one that.
I'm telling you.
What the fuck?
Jasper Cole has a 30-year history of guesting on every fucking TV show you've ever seen. Like, I mean, he was in Jason Takes Manhattan. He was in an episode of Married with Children. I'm telling you, now that we've talked to Jasper Cole, you are going to see him all the fucking time. And like, you probably don't even know you've seen him all the time, but you have.
Hey, the curse is not, it doesn't apply to guests. It only applies to
people.
If
you actually show up and
talk to
us, did you see that Drunk that we killed Juice WRLD? A couple weeks ago, we talked about the rapper Juice WRLD, and he died at 21.
being an idiot.
The fucking WFOD curse is real, guys. You think yes. It's not, but it's not. And Jasper's safe.
So if you want to live a long time, be a guest on the show. Yeah, don't be a topic of the show.
I don't think we've ever lost a guest, Travis. It hasn't
not
happened
only to
yet.
Prison.
Yeah, Joe Exotic went to prison, but that doesn't count. Matt.
Well, he was a guest, so he's safe.
Yeah, he's safe in prison.
But if we were going to talk about Harrison Ford.
Ooh, let's not.
Matt, you used to have a podcast. I guess you still kind of have a podcast. I want to ask you.
I do not have a podcast.
Matt, there's a website, and I'm singling this website out, but there's a lot of websites. But this particular website is called Podchaser, and they have fun tweets. I interact with them on Twitter every now and then. But I went to Podchaser's website, and we are on Podchaser's website, as are almost all podcasts. And, like, they have this thing where, like, they want you to create an account to claim your content. So, like, I would have to create an account to be able to say that this podcast that's already on your website is my podcast, and like now,
as opposed to the people who it is credited to already.
Well, I guess it's accredited to no one now, but like, you know, so
what is the website then that shows that our show is hosted by Andrew Heaton?
Oh yeah, that's Podchaser. And actually, I was fucking around on there, and like it just says that Andrew Heaton was a guest on one episode. I don't know who did that. It wasn't me. But yeah, like Andrew Heaton was on there, and like one of the documentary guys was on there as someone who has guested. And I added a couple more, like, you know, some of the big ones, Travis. I thought that maybe like people would. So I guess now I've engaged in Podchaser, but like I was looking at their frequently asked questions, and it said, the question is, can I remove my podcast from Podchaser? And it says, your fans and our team will be sorry to see you go, but yes, you can remove your podcast from Podchaser if you'd like to. Simply claim your podcast to prove you're the owner, then contact us to request a removal. So like I have to create an account.
So no matter what you do, you have to create an account with them.
Like, why can't I just send you an email and say, hey, fuck you, that's my shit, take it off your website. Now, I'm not that I'm going to. I don't care that we're on Podchaser.
Well, put it on everything. Podchaser, Podkicker.
Right, yeah. Put us Friendster. On everything. If there's any chance that, like, you know, we can get found from something, that's great. But like, why do I have to make an account on something to prove that my content is mine? Like, my content is mine. I don't have to prove shit to you. It's mine. All this is mine.
Ours.
Or am I wrong? Am I wrong to feel this way?
It's ours.
Well, I mean, no, it's mine.
No, it's ours.
Yeah, it's ours. You're right. All right.
Thank you.
But mostly mine.
I'm fine with you having it all, Mike. Yeah, whatever.
But Matt, like, am I being stupid? Like,
no, of course not.
Like, why do they get to tell me that I have to make an account to tell them that I'm me? Like, you should email me and say, hey, can we put your content on our website?
Yeah, essentially it's the they're co-opting content to make their brand viable. And this is the same thing that happened to Stitcher in the early days of Stitcher, way back when, with like Nerdist. They were taking people's RSS feeds and rerouting them to Stitcher and not crediting, you know, the original RSS feeds with the downloads and views. So like the podcast host and the people who own the podcast were not actually getting those listens or downloads or views and everything. And it actually, like, I remember Chris Hardwick had to fight with them to actually change their business practice to actually like either get permission or reroute to the original RSS feed.
Well,
created their brand based on everybody else.
Yeah, we submitted to Stitcher. We asked them to be on Stitcher because it was something that people listened to.
And in the early days of Stitcher, They just took people's shows and put them on their app.
Yeah, and make no mistake, like, you know, if there's a podcast thing, I want us to be on it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't want there ever to be a directory of podcasts that we're not on.
Well, of course.
But well, at the same
sweet
time,
Google clicks.
Yeah, like I don't know. I feel weird about somebody telling me that hey, we have your shit if you want it. Create an account on our platform.
It's like a ransom, essentially.
But I'm probably thinking about it all wrong. Podchaser, please promote us. Make us really big in the podcast world. I also, while we're bitching about podcast, Travis, I also have a tweet from a podcaster that I want to read.
Okay.
Gonna help a friend do some menial work next weekend and binge some podcasts. I figure since podcast promotion on Twitter is just a big circle jerk, let's embrace it. Prove you've listened to mine, and I'll put yours on my list. And then he asks like a trivia question about his most recent episode. Like, don't you think instead of just acknowledging that something is shitty and then doing the shitty thing, like, you should be the change you want to see in the world, Travis. Don't you think that, like, you should rise above it and elevate your craft?
Be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.
Yeah, just say, hey, I know that podcasting is a big pile of shit, but let me also add to the pile of shit by shitting on the shit. I was like, no, why don't you just, like, if you're of the elevated mind that, like, you can see that something is stupid, don't do the stupid thing. Be better.
It's all faster, stronger.
That's all I wanted to say. Drunk, do you have a...
So, I just got a quick question for you, man.
Okay, Drunk.
So, do you shit at 7:45 every night?
Drunk, I think it might have been this bad water that I drank, because, like...
Well, no,
because
you shit at 7:45 every Tuesday. But you didn't deny it, obviously, so you had to go in the middle of the show.
Yeah, it was like an emergency. I don't know what came over. Is this bad water that's been sitting here that you guys told me it was fine to drink? I don't think it was.
So, Matt, do you shit at the same time every day?
I generally have a pretty steady poop schedule, and that is right when I wake up in the morning and generally when I get home from work.
Yeah, I got a pretty... Oh, similar. Once when I wake up and once at about, you know, 2-ish right after I eat lunch.
Yeah, like I'll usually poop in the morning when I wake up.
And then
up.
It's 7:45 at night.
Why are we talking about
Because you
poop?
Interrupted the show with having to poop.
Haven't you ever had like an emergency poop that you had to go take care of?
Not really. They're just usually regular poops.
Yeah, generally I don't have an emergency.
I don't ever have a quote unquote turtle head poking.
You're gonna cut all this out, right?
Well, I mean,
all this poop talk.
Good for you, Drunk. Hey, had to poop. Sorry.
Do we need to start pushing the show back half an hour so we can have proper poop time for Mike?
Also taking health advice from a man who's
yeah, no
voice
shit. Listen
like
to him, Matt. In 10 years, I've had like one emergency poop. I'd say that.
Yep, but here's the thing: peek behind the curtain. 7:57 every day. You're like, oh, I'm gonna go squeeze one out real fast.
Travis, when does Drunk become such a stickler for, like, you know?
Well, here's the other thing too. You were giving this look like you couldn't just go pop upstairs for 4 minutes, and me, Matt, and Travis couldn't handle doing the show.
Well, yeah, but I wanted to go to break so that Travis could get the guest off.
You don't think I can handle, hey, we're going to go to break?
Do you know what to do?
I'll figure it out.
Okay, hey, we're... Okay, Drunk, switch chairs with me. You take us to break. No, switch chairs with me. Let's see if you can do it. Just take us to break unprompted right now. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You just do it.
Yeah.
You take us to break.
All right,
we're going to break.
We're going to break. So you do the tube, and you do the Skype.
Right.
And then you press one of these here buttons.
Okay, which one?
I'm going to go with the one that says...
Not the fast-paced go-to-break that we're accustomed to, Drunk. The people, what they want
And then you go to this little iPod thing
they
here.
They want fucking professionals.
You find the one that says break, and then you hit play.
Is it on break now?
It does. Is it break? Jesper Cole.
Click it. See what happens. Hey, look, we're on break.
Can I take a hit? I ran out of my Xannies, and I could really use something to take the edge off.
Are you impressed, Matt, that he did it?
I'm actually very impressed.
Wow.
I knew he could do it.
Travis, do you have what you'd say is a pick of the week, Travis? Something you want the people to know about?
I mean, kind of, sort of, right? Like, I'm not into anything really this week that's new. But I will say I guess my pick of the week is the penultimate episodes of Castle Rock and also The Watchmen.
Mm.
Both of those shows amped up in such a wonderful way in episode 9 that I'm excited for the final episodes of both, which premiere this week, but also makes me sad that they're almost over. So Castle Rock on Hulu, Watchmen on HBO.
It's kind of how HBO does it, though. The second to last episode is like, bow.
Yeah, like most shows, if they're successful, they give you that second to last episode where it's like, holy shit. And then the last episode just kind of wraps everything up. So, I watched them. Actually, I think I might have watched Watchmen the night it premiered. I can't recall. Either way, I watched them both in the last couple of days, along with The Mandalorian. All three of those shows were great. But Castle Rock and Watchmen are ending this week, so give them a shot.
Matt, pick of the week?
So, I was going to say The Watchmen just because Rochelle and I picked that up. Again, I think we're on episode 5 or 6, which has been really great. And I forgot that we were even watching Castle Rock. So we're going to have to dive back into that for sure, because we were really enjoying that as it was going along. But we kind of
Lizzie Kaplan is doing such an amazing job as Annie Wilkes in that show.
Yeah.
But don't go into it expecting it all about Annie Wilkes, because it's not.
I am not. I watched a movie over the weekend that I really liked called Yesterday, which is kind of like a rom-com / just kind of weird. I don't know. Just kind of came out of nowhere.
Is that the guy,
that Beatles
the guy that woke up and the Beatles didn't exist?
That looks great. That's exactly that. And it's just fun and a really enjoyable movie. And then I'm going to also top that off with a little bit of whipped cream called Goat's Head Soup by the Rolling Stones. Check that out if you don't spend much time with the Rolling Stones.
It's an oldie but a goodie, right?
Fucking oldie but a greatie.
Matt, did you see that I did the Mike Chemical Romance Challenge on Twitter?
Oh, I did. Yeah, Thanksgiving. Mike listened to the Black Parade.
Oh, fantastic. What did you think?
He did not like most of it, which I was really disappointed.
There was
really?
There was a few songs I liked.
It's the first time
there was
heard.
More songs than
a lot
I thought.
Of good songs.
It's the first time you heard the Black Parade?
Yeah.
He dissed a lot of fucking good songs. He was just like, oh, this song is like, bleh.
I didn't like the slow ones.
I just listened to, because I've been doing some work in my garage, because I'm replacing the trim in my house. So I've been playing my iPod in there while I was doing the work. And I just listened to, what is it? The Three Cheers for Dane? Or what was the, what is that one?
Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge.
So Sweet Revenge. That also is a
great
album.
Record.
On YouTube.
So it's like kind of different. It had been a while since I listened to that one, because my go-to is Black Parade, but shit, I love My Chemical.
I mean, Sweet Cheers, that was my introduction to I will never forget. There was a band in Kentucky called Circle Four, and the drummer, his name was Josh, and he was like, oh, dude, you got to check out this band, My Chemical Romance. And at the time, I was really listening to a lot of like kind of alternative, like new metal-ish type of stuff. And I went out and I was at a Best Buy. I went to a fucking Best Buy and I bought Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge. And it was amazing. Like, it just definitely changed everything that I was listening to. Like, that altered my course of what I was listening to at the time. Great record.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I know. And it bums me out. So, like, I talk to people and they tell me about music that they listen to. And I always experience this with, especially with people who listen to like Kanye West or like these artists that have such a big impact on our society and like everybody's listening to it. And I go back and I try to connect and I try to listen to it and I try to feel what people feel when they listen to those things. And I'm like, I can't ever find it. I will never find what people find in those artists. And Mike is not finding that in what I and so many others, I think, found in the Black Parade. So it kind of bums me out a little bit. But then I get it. Like, it's just, you know, it's just not vibing
different
with you.
Different strokes for different folks, Matt.
And you wish know, I could set you on fire right now.
Here's the thing. Like,
working hard or hardly working.
You listen to that album at a time that it resonated with probably a much younger you. And so now you can listen to it and like some of it is reminiscing. Some of it
I'll tell you, I didn't like My Chemical Romance when My Chemical Romance was a thing. Like I discovered them way after. I don't even think the band was together. Or maybe they were. Maybe I discovered them after Three Cheers. Did they have one more album after that?
They did. The Danger Days.
Danger Days. That's right. I think
which is a great record too.
Like, it's also just, good.
Yeah.
Your but favorite sports player. Your favorite musician. Your favorite movies are probably all the movies that you liked when you were 13.
That's not true.
Probably closer to 19.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, most people's favorite movies are still kind of their favorite movies from when they were 14 years old.
Yeah, but I mean, I still find myself falling like in love with movies now.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Stick with me.
But what's your favorite movie, Matt?
I don't even know what I would say my favorite movie is.
What's the first thing that came to mind when I asked that?
I've been saying my favorite movie for
Jurassic
the past
Park, probably.
20, yeah, Jurassic Park years. Came out in what, 1993?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. You're right. I mean, Jurassic Park is a movie that I could watch over and over again. Jaws. I mean, yeah.
What's your favorite band?
The Beatles.
Okay. Well,
that's fair.
Yeah, whatever. Drunk
pick. All right, who else has got a pick of the week?
Drunk's pick. Of the week, later this weekend, I will be once again on Shots Miss for the Not Safe for Water Coolers.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
So listen to that episode when it airs.
Yeah, I was not invited drunk.
You were not.
You don't.
I was invited.
I also was not invited, but expect my invite last minute just to piss Mike off.
I was invited.
I go on the show and then be declined. Like I'll be
so. Like another year goes by where everybody on this show was invited except me.
Well, I was invited and I couldn't. I could not do the dates.
Your head's a little too big to fit through that door.
Yeah, Travis. Like I was busy whatever day he wanted to do it too. I mean, I don't want to do it.
When is Shotsmas?
They told me to come on at 8 o'clock on the 14th, which would be Saturday.
Oh, that's this Saturday.
Yeah.
Wow.
My kids have a Christmas program that night.
Yeah, I mean, my kids have a Christmas program that day too, Travis. I don't want
you
to
gotta
do
take
it.
You got to take your dog back to the vet.
It just enrages me that I'm not invited.
It's probably because there's like six people on this thing, and you talk too much.
Oof. You think that's what it
is? Oh, God. Mike, you got a pick of the week?
Do you think that's why nobody like
you need to be the number one guy. You can't handle being second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth Mike.
Like all these people that like we have on the show over and over again, like none of them ever invite me to be on their podcast. Do you think that's it? Like they think that I'm
that you're going to take it over? Yeah.
That's what it is?
Yep.
You were on Jody's podcast.
I mean, yeah, but there's people that we have on pretty regularly, Travis.
Jody's is a little different. He's kind of a one-on-one interview kind of.
You'd think that every now and then they'd be like, you know, hey, I do a show every week where I talk to people. I've been on your show 10 times. How come you've never been on my show? That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
You must be talking about Sonic Blasphemy.
What happened to those guys? Travis, how come all of our friends have like disappeared?
They all disappear. What's your pick of the week, Mike?
Travis, I'll tell you what my pick of the week is. The final episode of Silicon Valley was on Sunday.
Oh, how was this season?
It was fine.
Final episode ever?
Yeah, like the last couple seasons. Like, I'll tell you what. Are they as good as like they were early on? No, but they're still pretty good. And the season finale was good. Like the whole series was pretty good. Like, you know, every episode, like, you know, oh no, Pied Piper is gonna be done, and then like, you know, something happens in the last 5 minutes where they figure it out, and then they do it again the next week, and it's a fun show. So yeah, the season finale was Sunday, and it was fun. So if you'd never watched Silicon Valley, now it's all out there. Now you can watch the whole thing. So
I'll get in on that. I haven't been watching it. I'll have to admit, week to week, I've not seen one episode of this season, but I've seen every other one. I'll get into it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So did you know allegedly they play this song more in St. Louis than other places in the country?
Christmas Shoes?
Yeah. Oh.
I didn't know that.
Ain't that wild?
Why?
I don't know. It's just real big here and not as big on the East Coast.
Huh.
Guys, it's a Midwest thing, I think.
Yeah. Guys, one more show left in 2019. We're doing a show next week, and then you can kiss our asses goodbye until January. So we appreciate all of you. We'll see you next week, and then we're going to take our Christmas sabbatical. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Good luck on all your shopping out there. If you haven't completed it yet, I hope you find some good deals and everybody, you know, you feel good about the gifts.
Guys, we'll see you next week. Thanks for being with us. Hey, Travis, Matt, thank you guys. Thank you guys for doing the show. Drunk, thank you for doing the show. Guys,
thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll see you on down the trail. You know what I'm saying? We'll see you.
Driving down the road.
Driving down the road.
Guns out, fun's out.
Somehow I gotta buy her these Christmas shoes. So I laid the money down. I just had to help him out. And I'll never forget the look on his face when he said, Mama's gonna look so great. Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes will make her smile. And I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight. I knew I caught a glimpse of heaven's love as he thanked and ran out. I knew that God had sent the little boy to remind me what Christmas is all about.
Fucking nailed it, Mike. I fucking nailed it.
This is, wow. John.
In these shoes.
It's really
just
something.
Her side.
Could you hurry?
Daddy says there's not much.
Matt, are you moved?
Because
Matt's gone.
He had a potty, I think.
Matt had to potty.
Everybody's got a potty.
I gotta poop. I'll see you guys later.
Jesus tonight. I want to look beautiful if Mama
meets Jesus tonight. Oh yeah.
Christmas, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.
Oh.
thing. But oh, it's just a dream. I'm still at school today. Oh, don't teachers teach? Well, my mind is just on Christmas. I just wanna go and play with all my unlimited data. Come on! T-Mobile Direct is finally here. Oh, I can feel that Christmas here. T-Mobile Direct is right here. We're gonna have the time of our lives. T-Mobile Direct is almost here. Oh, I can feel that Christmas here. T-Mobile Direct is just so near. I'm gonna have the time of our lives. Everybody!
Hello, John?
Yeah,
I'll make a commercial. No problem.
Oh yeah, take a look outside. As the snow begins to fall, you can have a digital fight. Magenta Christmas we go, but we're all still at school with many tests to do. But wait, that's so great. Tomorrow's T-Mobile break. Everybody! 5, 4, 3, 2, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Everybody now! Winter break is almost here. Cause T-Mobile is right here. Winter break is just so near. Thanks to everybody at T-Mobile. T-Mobile break is almost here. I can feel that Christmas cheer. T-Mobile break is right here. We're gonna have the time.